I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and for he knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. And I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but he I'm covered by his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand.
Says it all. It sums it up in just two short verses right there. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. And that's the way life is. We there's a saying that goes on that, you know, I meant to do good, but somehow life just kind of got in the way. There is a hope that we have as Christians that those who don't know him don't have. But the biggest thing that we've got is the fact that we know that no matter what happens,
right,
we're in his hand.
Amen.
And he's going to take care of us no matter what takes place. And that gives me a peace inside. No matter what hurricane hits, wherever it hits,
right. Right.
No matter what disaster takes place in the world today, no matter what tragedy takes place in our own family.
Yes.
It gives me a certain hope and knowledge that he made a promise to me.
Amen.
And he is going to uphold that promise no matter what.
Yes.
And that means that everything is going to be okay.
Amen.
And if that's the case, then I don't really have to worry about any of this stuff. I can sit back and kind of relax with the peace and knowledge that he's kind of got me in his hand and I'm going to
sure.
be all right.
Sure.
Now, Am I human? Do I still have worries and concerns? Knowing all this, do I still worry a little bit? Yeah. And then I'll get to the point where it dawns on me that, you know, I'm wearing myself out over something that doesn't really mean anything.
Bless you, Stan.
I know beyond a shadow of a doubt,
yes,
that he's real.
Yeah.
I know more than anything else in this world that there was a time and a place when things were happening in my life that he came in and he touched me and he took a burden away from me that I've never had since then.
Yeah, bless you.
And I know that he changed my life because there were things that I was thinking and things that I was doing and paths that I were getting ready to cross that I had no business going, and he changed that.
Yeah.
And he made me to be able to see what was going on around me. Do I make mistakes? You better believe it. But I know that as soon as I make a mistake and it dawns on me that I've said something, done something, or thought something that I shouldn't have thought, that if I go back to him and ask forgiveness for that,
yeah,
that I'm forgiven.
Amen.
And it's forgotten. I love him. I don't deserve any. Hey, listen, I love the Lord. And I don't deserve any of the things that he's given me, but the blessings that he gives me, I appreciate more than you know. Because he's taken the burden from my heart and he's allowed me to be able to live free from the pain and the suffering and the garbage that goes on out here in this world today. Do I have things happening to me that's changing physically what I can do and what I can't do? Yeah.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. I'm not lying in a hospital bed somewhere right
that's
now.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm not in a respirator or in a machine that pumps and takes care of my kidneys right now. Could that happen later on? Yeah, it probably could, but it's not happening right now. And that means that I'm living a blessed life.
Yeah, right. Bless you, Stan.
Bless you, buddy.
I didn't intend to say all of the stuff that I just got through saying.
Bless you, Stan.
But I didn't intend to sit up here and not tell you that I love the Lord and I recognize the changes that he's made, not just in me, but in the world around me.
Right.
And he's allowed me to see things that's going on in people around me that bless my heart because I can see changes that he's making in them. I love the Lord.
Amen.
And I, y'all just pray for me.
Okay, black book.
My soul, tell me.
I forgot, and I got to remember. They wanted me to announce that up at the youth retreat, and I was there last night in the service, at the campfire service, and Meredith and I try to stay back. We don't like the boys to know we're there, because if they know we're there, then they won't participate sometimes. But we sit back, and them kids, the Holy Spirit come down around that circle of kids, and you talk about a church service. Now, they had a church service last night. And there were 73 there this morning. Now, some of them left, but that's a lot of teenagers from middle school to college. And they had a good time last night. And I'm sure they had a good time this morning. And Meredith was up there at 6 o'clock fixing pancakes. Me and Daisy, the dog, we had Golden Grahams this morning. So, going to have a little talk about that, but... It was good. It was good. And I enjoyed being up there around them, but I was so overwhelmed, and I wanted to shout. I wanted to say hallelujah, but I was back there in the back watching. I just liked to watch, and they really had a good service. And you wouldn't think that kids, some of those kids, to hear what they have to say, hey, it's real life to them, and I really enjoyed it, really enjoyed it. All right, you all help me sing this. We all know it. We shall be like him, okay? Bless you, Joe.
Churches don't have any youth. You know, it's really bad in other churches. But teaching them what the Holy Spirit is,
yeah.
and they felt it there last night.
Well, I'll tell you how the Lord works. That's good news. I appreciate them youngins. I'll tell you what. The Holy Spirit was here, as we said the other day, God's everywhere. But I know He's here, because He come in with me and I'm sweating. And I was hoping, well, I was asking the Lord, did you sing that song? Because I didn't want to just hear two, I wanted to hear more than two. And then you turned around and said that. God is good, ain't He?
Yeah.
Y'all pray for me. Glory.
Y'all, everybody help me sing it, all right? Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be when His voice we hear. There is one thing that I know for sure, when He sinless and pure. For we shall be like Him. Oh, we shall be like Him. When He appears, you can say goodbye to pain. You can say goodbye to tears. Changed in a moment, we all shall be with Jesus to live through eternity. Now listen, when He appears, you can say goodbye to pain, you can say goodbye to tears. Changed in a moment, we all shall be with Jesus to live
before you know it. It's been resting. I've had a lot of physical problems, but I just want everybody to know everything is all right with me. I'm just a lot quieter than I used to be. Yeah. I just say praise the Lord.
Bless you, God. Bless you, buddy.
Bless you, boy.
Somebody's name out. I'm real proud of Wendy. I think she's doing a wonderful job.
Amen.
Holy Father. Bless you, Joy.
For those of you all that don't know, you all sang that at her funeral. And it's about all I can do to hear it.
Bless you, Joy.
I miss my mom. I miss her a lot.
Bless you, Joy.
But I rest in the fact that I know where she's at.
Amen.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a time that I could have said that. And I remember being in my closet praying that the Lord would do whatever it took to get her attention.
Bless you, Julie.
That's a lofty ambition to give to the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Because next thing I knew, she couldn't walk without a walker.
Bless you, Julie.
Bless you, Julie.
She went to work in active kindergarten aid. One morning, she came home by breakfast and couldn't stand her on her own. Folks, the Lord means business.
Yeah.
And that's the way that we knew her for 3 years until she died. Now, you might think that that had nothing to do with that prayer. And maybe it didn't. I tend to think the Lord did whatever it took to get her attention.
Amen.
Right.
But you know what? You said that you messed up a lot in the last 6 months. I stand here today and I tell you that I overeat daily. And that's a sin. And if you're out there convicting somebody because they're gay or because they're a thief, or because they lie, you guess what? The Lord will get your attention.
That's right.
And that sin that they're doing or that you're shaming them for is no different from what you do every day.
Bless you.
I raise my voice as a wife. The Lord knows I raise it as a mom. I'm sassy as a daughter. The Lord loves me. I'm not the friend I should always be.
Bless you.
But the Lord will do whatever it takes to get your attention.
Amen.
And if the Lord's doing what it takes today to get your attention, heed his call. Because you might not have 3 years.
That's right.
I love him. I love this church. I could go around and probably tell really good stories on a lot of these people because they're my good friends. And I know that I could call them at any hour and they would be there for us. And I know that you fervently prayed for my mom when I asked you to. And I thank you for that. Because as we sing this song, it breaks my heart. But I know that she's in heaven. And I know that I get to see her someday.
Amen.
If you're not right with the Lord, make today the day.
Amen.
Bless you, Jules.
So that your family can have that assurance.
Bless you, Jules.
Bless you.
Bless her heart.
Bless her
heart.
Everybody through?
Bless you.
Make sure. All right. Get your hymnal. Turn to 112 as the choir goes down. We'll get ready for Pastor Jimmy.
I'm satisfied with just the cottage below. A little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I got a mansion just over the hilltop in that dry land where never grow old, and someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold.
All right. We're ready for the word. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the word. That's what we're ready for. Do want to say this as Pastor Jimmy comes. If you're a visitor with us today, you're only a visitor once. And we ask you to make this your home church if you don't have a home church. There's something here that the Lord would have you do. I feel confident of that. So there's always something here. All right? So as Pastor Jimmy gets ready to bring the word, stand. You're already standing. You just as well go ahead and pray for the word this morning.
Father God, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here today, Lord. Amen. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, for your guidance and the things we say and the things we do. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We ask that as the speaker comes, Lord, that you be with him and everything that happens, Lord, give him the words that you would have him have.
Right, right.
Most of all, Lord, let it go out to each and every one of us that we understand fully exactly what you have in store for us. And if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, Lord, let them come to know you and let them come forward. In Jesus'
Amen.
Name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Bless you.
Morning. Good to be here this morning. It's been a great place. God's Spirit is in this place. I just ask you one thing of you this morning. If you haven't already, I ask you just let your guard down. Whatever defenses that you have, a lot of times when we come to this church, if we come to open up the church or something, we'll come and we'll unlock the door. But then we have to slip in over to the panel right there, and then we have to punch in a code or the alarm's going to go off. That's the defense for our church. But a lot of times we come to church and we don't turn our defenses off, and we don't let the Word of God penetrate to what it should do. So what kind of defenses are these? You know, a lot of times when it comes to God's Word, we might have certain defenses that we build up that, you know, things that we might say to ourselves. Or how many times have we caught ourselves saying, man, I wish so-and-so was here because that would have been really great for them to hear. Well, that's a defense because they're not there. They're not here. But you are. And while you're worried about what they should have, you should be opening up and saying, what is it saying to me at this time? Because you are here. And you're the one hearing the word. And so that's kind of a defense. That's a deflection of God's word coming towards you. And you're going like this. Bam. Knocking it off towards somebody else. Don't knock it off. Don't deflect God's word. But allow God's word to permeate. Allow God's word to come into your life. And to hear it. To be, you know, you could hear John 3:16 a million times in your life. But the next time you hear it, you ought to let it in again. Because you might get something else out of it. Right, Pastor Al? You can never hear it so much that it doesn't bear fruit for you and what you have. It's not one of those things, well, I've heard it before. Well, you can read the same thing in the Bible over and over. And something else might grab you that particular time. Something that you're going through at that particular time might just articulate in that verse. Something you've never noticed before, but God is saying, here, this is what I want you to know from this today. This is what I want you to know. So I ask you to lay your guard down. And what that means is just to open up. Allow his word to come into your soul. Allow his word to come in. You say, well, what about the preachers? Don't they have it figured out? No way. We don't have it figured out. We're just like everyone else. We have to allow it to come into our hearts as well. Isn't that right, Pastor Al? Have you figured it all out? Have you figured it out? You know, we're always learning, aren't we? We're always taking it in. We're always listening to each other. We're listening to the testimonies. We're listening to the songs.
Because there's always things that we can allow in that God will provide the increase for those things. You know, in Isaiah, he talks about how the word doesn't go out without bearing fruit. That the word goes out and it accomplishes that which it is meant to accomplish. In other words, if you're open to God's word, if you're open to his songs, if you're open to the prayers, then something will happen in your life. And that's what we'll talk about a little bit this morning. If you got your Bibles, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Starting with verse 24. Sometimes I mean to start out with a little introduction. I end up going a little bit too far to begin with. So, Matthew chapter 13. Again, verse 24, it says this: another parable put he forth unto them, saying. Let me go back a little bit further. In verse 10, he talks about the purpose of parables. You say, what is a parable? It's a story that Jesus told. Let's just go back to verse 10. It says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing hear not, neither do they understand. Now, he's not saying that he told them these things to confuse them, but he's saying that he used parables to get to people. You see, once you tell somebody something, their defenses are up, and a lot of times they don't want to hear what you have to say. But if you go about it in a different way, if you go about it through a story, if you go about it through questioning, if you go about it in a different way, then a lot of times people will allow that in to take root and to understand that. So just like talking to your kids, you have to figure out some inventive ways to get through to them. I know that while coaching, if I'm coaching my son or my daughter, a lot of times I'll have to tell somebody else to tell them what I want to tell them, because they'll listen to that somebody else. They don't want to hear it from me. Chris is laughing. He knows.
Amen.
Amen. You know that, don't you, Chris? Yeah. Hey, he even said that in his testimony, didn't he? He said, we went to the service last night, but we sat back because a lot of times they won't do the things that they would do if we weren't there. And that's just human nature. That's true. Yeah. And because we have defenses sometimes. Sometimes when our dads start to speak to us, sometimes when our moms start to speak to us, we throw up those defenses and we say, well, we don't even filter it out. We say, well, this is the same thing that they said this time or and as a parent, I know a lot of times I do say the same thing over and over, but because I love my child, I want them to know what I'm saying. I want them to learn from the things that we have to say. So a lot of times that's what Jesus would do. He spoke in parables. Because he knew that it was challenging them to understand, to think, and to understand. And it was a way to get through to their heart. So this is a parable in verse 24. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also, or weeds. When we talk about tares, we're talking about weeds. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while we gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together the first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Okay, so a parable that Jesus gives. And in this parable, he is talking about people as seeds. And just in case you don't know what seeds are, I brought some seeds. I know you guys know what they are, but I brought some seeds to show, because he's comparing people to seeds. And if you think about it, in a lot of ways, we are very similar to seeds. Because We have a hard outer shell sometimes. You know, I've already talked about letting your guard down, but we have a hard outer shell. But inside, there's something more. But the seeds, what's important about the seeds is there has to be a certain thing that takes place for these seeds to ever become anything of value, before they become anything that produces something great. And so these seeds, there has to be something that takes place, because if you leave them alone, if you leave them in this bag, they'll just be seeds forever. They'll be seeds until they disintegrate and they go away. But if you do something with these seeds, if you put them in the right place, then they can produce something. And they can reproduce, and they can bear fruit that is good for all people. And so I want to go on and read over here. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Okay, so he's talking again about the seed and about how it can be the smallest and the least of all things. But when it is grown, when it becomes a plant, when it becomes a tree, eventually it will produce fruit and it will bear, reproduce all of those things that are beneficial to other people. Now, he talked about it being beneficial to the birds, but what God requires us to do as Christians is to grow. He requires us to grow, and he requires us to bear fruit of spirit, the fruits of the spirit that we see in the Bible. And if we do these things, and if we multiply, and if we grow, then we will bring fruit to those other people so that they might grow also. We are doing a service unto those people, that within our tree they can have shade, they can have lodging, they can have a fruit to eat so that they can be blessed as well. But he starts out with talking about how we're seeds, and I really got to thinking about that. You know, I think what started on this thought was, you know, I said earlier that if we just open up ourselves, we'll hear something in everything that God says. Well, last Sunday night we had a guest speaker, and he was talking about the cedars of Lebanon, and he gave a great message about the cedars of Lebanon. But as he was talking about that, and as I was listening to him, I began to think about seeds and how special they are, and how they are unlocked potential. And what I was thinking about these seeds is, you know, a lot of times what do we say is required for plants to grow? A lot of times what do they say is, what are the requirements? What do they need? They need water. They need sunlight. But most important for a seed, because I could take this seed out and I could put it on the concrete, I could put it in the sun, and I could water it. But what's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen with this seed. And I got to thinking about that and about what it needs to get its first start. And it reminded me of people so much when I got to thinking about this. Because we are all seeds. All of us are seeds. And every seed is a potential tree. Every seed is a potential plant. Every seed has the potential to grow fruit and to bear fruit. And so all people have that potential. So I began to see people as seeds and what it takes for them to become the great tree, or what it takes for them to become the great plant. And you know what I realize is that this seed has to be humbled first. This seed has to be in the lowest of low places, by itself, in the dark, in the ground, where something can reach it and its shell can be penetrated. Think about that. Think about that and how that applies to the human condition. Don't we have to be humbled sometimes and allow the things of God to come in and penetrate? You see, you put this seed in the ground and you bury it and you cover it up. But it has to be in good ground. It has to be in a nutrient-rich place. And I thought about the church. And let me tell you, from my experience, this church is a nutrient-rich environment. This is a good place to come if you want to experience the love of God. In our directory, it says, a church with a special love. And I believe that. Because we allow God to do things in our life here. We allow Him to take over. We don't preach ourselves, but we try to allow God to preach through us. We don't minister to the kids ourselves, but we allow God to minister to the kids through us, and so on and so forth. But if you come into this place and you allow yourself to, if you humble yourself and you allow yourself to, for that water to come in, and you allow it to come in, and something begins to happen with that seed, it begins to crack. But you know what else happens when water penetrates into that seed when it's in the ground? This is what's amazing about it. The water and the nutrients, they get into this seed. They have to permeate it first. But then they react with something that's already there. Isn't that amazing? God has put something in your heart that's already there. It's just dormant. God has put something, He has placed something in your heart that allows every person in the right conditions to grow into a beautiful plant and beautiful tree. Every person. When we think about those people that are castaways, when we think about those people that we have left aside, when we think about those people that are undesirable to be around, we need to think of them as seeds that have a special package within them. We need to think of these people as potential trees for the glory of God. Potential plants that are able to grow in the right conditions if they are humbled and if they allow God's word, God's spirit to come into their life, it will react with something that's already there that's lying dormant within that seed. And so that's what the amazing thing is about this seed. It's just a package. It's a package waiting to be opened. And so sinners today, sinners who don't know God, think about you before you knew God. You were a package that was waiting to be opened. A key, a lock that was ready to be unlocked. Potential that was ready to be let loose. And so when I thought about this, I thought about Saul. And the reason I say Saul is because Saul was a hard man. Saul was a man who thought that he was going about God's business. He thought that he was going around sowing good seed. But what was Saul all about? He was about stamping out the Christians, the early Christians. So in another parable, Jesus talks about the seed that is cast by the wayside, and the birds come along and they pluck it right up. So if you think about it, Saul in his former life was like those birds that were coming forward, and he was taking up the early Christians, and he was getting rid of them. But there came a point in Saul's life. He wasn't growing anything. He wasn't bearing fruit for God. He thought he was. He saw himself as a pruner. He saw himself as one that was going to cut down all the bad ones. And he considered the Christians to be bad. Those that were following this threat that he saw as Christ. So he looked at Christ and his followers as the weeds. And he thought he was doing, but he wasn't growing fruit for God's kingdom. And so he was on his way, seeking whom he may devour. Who does that sound like? Satan. So Paul was working for the great deceiver himself, because he was going around seeking Christians whom he may devour. Now that is someone that's working on the wrong side. But as he was going about, he was on his way to Damascus. And Jesus showed up in a mighty way. And what happened to Paul? He humbled Paul. And Paul had to go down into the dirt. Paul had to hit his knees and go down into the dirt. And Jesus met him there. And we know that he was blinded. And so for several days he was thinking in his heart. And all this time, something was happening within Saul's heart. And what it was is that Jesus had humbled him. He made him low. And he made something to react within Saul's heart that was already there. You say Jesus gave him something. He reacted to what was already in Saul's heart. And out of that, a plant began to grow. And once his seed was cracked, once the outer layer of protection that he had built up over so many years, you see, it took him many years to build up that outer protection. And every time people would go to talk to him, he would buff them away. He would reject what they had to say. When the Christians would go to talk to him, not only did he reject it, but he persecuted them. That was his defense. But one day on his road to Damascus, Jesus knocked him into his place and said, "You're doing the wrong thing." And once that happened, then his Christian life began to grow. And behind the scenes, he began to sprout. And so underneath the ground, what happens is a root comes out, and it comes out and it looks for water. And then all kinds of things start to happen under the ground that you don't see. But eventually it pops up and you begin to see it. But that's not where we want to be. We want to go further. We want to allow God's message. We want God's watering. We want God's nutrients, God's word, to continue into our lives so that we continue to grow and that we don't just become saplings. That we continue to grow so that we what? We bear fruit ourselves so that others can benefit from what God has done for us. But you see, it's so special. It's so special that we're already programmed to do this. But what we need is God's word and his spirit to come in. And we need to humble ourselves. And we need to repent. And we need to open ourselves and allow God's spirit to come into us so that it can react with what's already there and become a beautiful thing that grows fruit for other people and shade for other people and supplies for other people so that we are benefiting God's word. And so what we had out of the seed of Saul became the tree of Paul. And that tree grew strong. And that tree bared fruit, so much fruit that we are benefiting from the fruit that Paul sowed, or the fruit that Paul gave all those years ago. We're still benefiting from them today. It's still preached today. People are still being saved because Paul allowed God into his life that he would grow into a powerful man of God so that it would benefit mankind. And see, that is the whole thing. That is what we should be doing. And we are benefiting from that today. And so what does it take? I know in another parable that I talked about, the whole thing was location. It was what you're around, what you're exposed to. Are you living among the weeds? Are you living in the shallow ground? Are you living in the place that the world is choking out what God has for you? In other words, are you getting enough of the nutrient-rich soil that you need? Why do people not want to come to church sometimes? Because they're afraid that there's a change that's going to take place. They know that God's word is powerful. And so sometimes we make up excuses not to go because we know that if we go, something might happen within us and we might be changed. But I tell you, that change is what makes you begin to live for the very first time. You see, sadly, people are satisfied being seeds. And they think that this is all they can ever be. Just like the seeds in this bag, they'll stay here. They won't get what they need to become the potential that they have. And so sadly, people are resigned to be seeds. And sadly, people are resigned to stay to themselves. And they don't allow the work of God to come in and allow them to transform them into something that's great and something that benefits. And that's a sad thing. That's a sad thing. You know, I was thinking as we sang that song, can a beautiful tree, a fruit-bearing, Christ-like tree, come out of West Virginia? Yes, it can. Sure, it can. How about a tree that reaches thousands or millions of people? Can that happen here in this place? It sure can. You know, we sang the song earlier, "We Shall Be Like Him." How many of you like that song? Amen. How many of you have had great church experiences with that song? Amen. How many people have seen people saved because of that song? Amen. You know where that came from? It came from West Virginia. That came from a man named Squire Parsons. That came from a seed named Squire Parsons that probably went to a small church in Roane County. And that seed allowed himself to be planted. And that seed allowed himself to open up to the nutrients that God had provided and the calling that was put upon him. And he began to branch out underground in Roane County at his church. Then he began to branch out a little bit further. Then he broke through. Then he continued to allow God's word and God's spirit to come into his life. And he grew into a fruit-bearing tree that has blessed churches across this state, across this nation, across this world. And you say, well, Squire Parsons is a great man. And yes, he is. But God and Squire Parsons are great together. And they have blessed this world because he allowed God's will to come into his life. And he allowed God's will to move through him. And so that he became a great witness for God. And how many people have been inspired by Squire Parsons to write their own songs and to become their own trees and to bear their own fruit? How many preachers have used his words to preach the word and to reach other people so that people would come and allow themselves to open up to God's word and allow themselves to be trees for God likewise? Because people allow themselves to become what God wants them to become. Now, all of these things are great. It's great to become a tree. It's great to bear fruit. It's great to live that life and to have that life to live. But it's more than that, because you see, this is a warning that Jesus was giving them. I said that he spoke in parables. He did speak in parables, but it is a warning for us to be heeded, for us to listen to. You know, I was watching on the news this morning. Everything was about Hurricane Harvey down in Texas. You know, they gave how many warnings to those people? Warning after warning. Some people lived through Katrina. Some people lived. But I'm convinced that no matter how much you warn people, there's always going to be people to stay behind. Amen? There's always going to be people that stay behind. Jesus gave a warning. He gave many warnings. But there's always going to be people that don't heed the warnings. Don't be one of those people. Amen? Don't be one of those people. They showed on that video the street that was flooded several feet deep. And here come a car trying to go through it, all the way up past its headlights. It barely made it. But they didn't heed the warning. How many people tried that and lost their lives? Because they thought they could do what had been warned against. And it's the same thing with Christianity. Jesus gives us warnings. He gives us warnings. Let me tell you what he told his disciples. It said in verse 36, "Then Jesus sent a multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, a funny thing probably happened during the course of this sermon. Some people probably were into the beginning, and then as I began to go on, they began to say, "Oh, now he's getting into this again." Those are the defenses I'm talking about. Now, we as Christians, we know these things, but we still need to hear them also, because we have friends, we have family, we have people that we know that need to be warned and need to hear these things. And so we can't just turn our minds off to them. We can't just shut it off and deflect it and say, well, you know, he had me until he started talking about. I'm not preaching any less of the Bible than I am that I started with the beginning. It's all the Bible. It's all the Word of God. And it all goes to where it needs to go so that we hear it. But that is the warning that Jesus gave, is that there's going to be a great separation someday. And the ones that do not bear fruit are going to be cast aside. And the ones that bear fruit, and the ones that have allowed God to come into their life, and the ones who have accepted Him and live for God and bear the fruit of the kingdom of God, they will be rewarded. In the parable, he said, they will be gathered in my barn. And the weeds are to be gathered together and burned up and to be no more. That is the warning that he gives us. Don't allow yourself to defend so much that you don't let Christ into your life. And I'm almost finished as we get a song of invitation. Things I want you to take away from this message is that everybody is a potential tree. Everybody is a potential plant that can bear fruit. There's nobody that's living that can't begin to bear fruit for God, because it is within them. They just need to open up and allow His Spirit to work with them. Another thing I want you to know is that it's important to bear fruit. It's important to let yourself grow. Maybe some people have began to grow and they asked Jesus into their life and they began to grow, but right now they're just kind of a weak tree, kind of a sapling that hasn't really produced much. Well, the same powers that began you to grow will continue you to grow if you're in the right place. If you're surrounded with the right conditions, which is the Word of God and God's prayers, then you will begin to seek growth and you will begin to see that growth again, and you too can bear fruit. We decide how big our tree gets and how much fruit it produces. We decide that. We decide it. Not somebody deciding it for us. Not God deciding. God doesn't say, I want to make this man great and I just want to make this man mediocre or this woman mediocre. God wants to make all of us great, but we have to allow Him to do that. We have to allow Him in. Another thing I would say to come out from this is that we have to allow yourself to be broken. Allow yourself to allow, I'm saying allow a lot. Make sure that you are surrounded by God's Word. If you go out and you stay in the world, and you never hear the things of God, then you're not going to grow. If you hang around with those that are like weeds, then eventually their life is going to entangle with yours, and it's going to strangle out the light that's in your life, and it can strangle your witness. I'll say this before we have the song and we give the invitation. Whatever God's putting on your heart, open up and allow Him to do it. There's no judgment here. We don't say, well, that person went because they needed it. We say that person went because God was dealing with them. And we pray for those people. And we ask God to give them what they need, whatever it is. This should never be a place of judgment. Don't feel like you're judged for coming to the altar. This isn't a place of weakness. This is a place of what? Strength. This is a place of strength. You see, the world sees going to your knees as weakness. Christians see going to your knees as a position of strength. Even if you go and prostrate yourself, even if you go and go on your belly before the Lord, that is a position of strength, because you're asking Him to come in into your life. As Julie was giving her testimony, I thought about her mother, LaDonna Kay. Goes a lot along with this message. For a while, she was dormant. Amen? But God got through, and she lived in a mighty way. With God's help, with God's love, she lived in a mighty way, and she was a great light to this church, Julie and Jimmy. And her smile could light up a room. And when she was here, she wanted to be here all the time. And she loved every song. And she loved every message. And she bore a lot of fruit for us to get what we needed. That just reminded me when you were saying that. She allowed God to come through and for her to bear fruit. And she bared a lot of fruit in a short amount of time. For us, anyone who was here to witness it, it helped us out, helped me grow stronger. So you never know who's watching. You never know who's sitting under your tree waiting for the fruit to fall. Your kids, they're waiting to get the fruit that you've got. Your family, all those people, they're sitting beneath your tree as shade. They depend on it. But we have to ask the Lord into our hearts. As we get a song of invitation, if you have a need, you come and you ask the Lord to bless your heart this morning. But don't stay a seed. And don't stay a sapling. But allow yourself to bear fruit that God would have you to bear. As we get a song of invitation.
Let's all stand. Turn to page 80 or 35. 35.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time, he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see. Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide.
All eyes closed and every head bowed. Just want to talk to you for a minute further. No one looking around. If you know the Bible verse, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." It's kind of what that song was about this whole message. And Jesus has never entered into a door of somebody's heart to destroy it. He has never entered in to say, I'm going to create chaos in your life. I'm going to change you in a way that's destructive. That's what Satan does. We've built up our defenses to keep Satan from getting in, but a lot of times we keep Jesus out. And so when he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," he says, so that I might come in and I might sup with you, or I might fellowship with you. And that's what he wants to do. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard. It's a hard step because it's hard to... These defenses have been built up for years. We've built them up. I know it's hard. But if you have a need here this morning and it was a little bit too much to come to the altar, if you want to raise your hand, that could be a small step towards branching out a little bit. That could be your root coming out, looking for more water. That can be your sprout coming out, looking for something greater than what you have now. If anyone feels that way, if you would lift your hand, we'd like to pray for you. Nobody looking around. Stay in God's word. Stay in God's church. Stay where the ground is rich in nutrients. Stay where you're challenged by the word of God. Stay where you're chastised by the word of God. Stay where you can still hear his voice, and you know that the people in the church that you're at can still hear his voice. Surround yourself with his word. Listen to his songs. And allow yourself to grow and be the person that Christ wants you to be, that you would bear fruit. We thank you for all these things. While your heads are still bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask Pastor Al, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer, please?
Father, we look at